sound it off while driving?
Hello and welcome to the Broad and Hazy podcast. I'm Joe.
I'm Jeff. And that song was Metaphor by...
Yeah, that band is called Mount Eddy. I found their album by mistake, and every song is really good on their Chroma album. Mm-hmm. So I learned a few of their songs. I don't think I'm very good at it, but if you go get the actual album, who I didn't realize when I started like digging the band that the lead guitarist and singer guy is actually Billy Joe Armstrong's son from
Green Day.
From Green Day. Yeah. Cool shit. So that's cool. And, you know, his dad put out a lot of good stuff, but I don't know. I feel like his son is doing really well. I wish he would have stuck with Mount Eddy because he's got another band that I'm not as big a fan of, but it's still pretty good.
Okay. Well, today...
What's our drink of the day, Jeffrey?
Our drink of the day is Hazer's Gonna Haze.
Mm-hmm.
Very thematic.
Saw that in the store. Thought it was rather suiting.
So we got a 4-pack of these. Neither of us have tried them yet, unlike the previous podcast where we tapped into the beers before we started recording. But yeah, let's crack these motherfuckers open and see what we got.
Yep.
All right. So
probably should have divvied them out before we started recording.
Probably.
Huh? All right. These are bigger than a regular beer.
Yeah. They're tall boys. What is it? 16 ounce?
That's a pint. They're 1 pint.
Yeah. You're already going on yours.
Good. Very good. It's got some angry beavers drinking and palling around with leather jackets on them.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I like that.
It's not like bitter as hell like most IPAs.
It's like the one that we had last time.
No.
What was that stuff? That stuff was called a Bodhisattva.
Bodhisattva?
Yeah. And there you go. And it was real orangey. And this stuff kind of got that too.
Yeah.
What's the what's the percentage on
I'm
it?
I'm looking.
Doesn't want to tell you? Not relevant anymore. Everybody's lost interest in it's 6.6. It says it right there.
Yeah.
All right, good. So this, yeah, Hazer's Gonna Haze. I don't remember how much it costed, but I would pay for it again. I mean, it's good.
That's it.
I like it. Fantastic. All right, Jeff, I've been thinking about this podcast all week. I've been thinking about driving down to Olympia in some shitty Memorial Day traffic, and that panned out to be an extra half hour. Either way, we made it here in one piece, and here we are. And one thing that I was reading this week was that Kim Kardashian went and got herself the COVID.
Good for her.
So
is she?
This is happening between her failing the bar back in June and her next attempt at the bar. Because in California, you don't need to go to law school to practice law or take the bar. If you
wait. I'm totally confused with this. This crazy. Kim Kardashian is trying to be a fucking lawyer now?
Yeah.
Like following in her dad's footsteps?
I guess, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. If I was a criminal, I don't know if I would really trust my defense. I'd be like, what do they call it when you had like inadequate defense?
That big booty hoe might be able to get me off. Pun intended.
Nice. All right. So that she got COVID. She had a big, huge vacation in the middle of COVID times that was highly criticized.
Yeah.
And, but she insists she didn't get it on that vacation. Whatever, man. But you got to give them props, dude. They are able to take advantage of America's idiocracy and how stupid they are. And like, did you know that people donated money? So poor people are donating to a multimillionaire to push her over the edge so she can become a billionaire. Like, how do you accept people's money like that? Like, at least buy her product. That she makes money when you buy her product.
What are her products, though?
Khloe Kardashian makes, like, fucking perfume or something.
Oh, God. I just don't get it. Why the fuck are you going to give up your wealth to a person who's already wealthy as shit?
I mean,
she has the money to do it on her own. Why the fuck would you give her
I don't know what the big deal is about making her a billionaire, but whatever. So, anyway, that's a story I read today. I knew it would piss you off, so I brought it up.
No, it didn't piss me off. It didn't piss me off by any means. It's just reaffirming the fact that I believe most people are dumb as shit. So,
yeah. Well, I gave Chloe some money. I'm gonna admit.
Really?
That. Yeah, I gave her some money. I gave her $20.
Fucking idiot.
I thought she was like at that $1 billion minus $20. I thought she was at that mark. No, it was Kim who got COVID. It was Chloe who billionaire thing. But Kim is trying to pass the bar. She got the bar test in October again, and I think if she fails, she has to wait a bunch of years or something because she's taking it.
I think it's like 8 months.
But the fucked up thing in California, dude, you don't have to go to law school. So she's been apprenticing with one of her father's, you know, what you call it, colleagues for a while now.
Associated.
Yeah. So that happened, and You got to give them props, though, dude. They really were able to capitalize on how stupid Americans are or how stupid the public is. And all they did was get really wealthy and famous off of nothing.
Well, I mean, they got famous because their dad defended O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, but I didn't know that.
How did you not know that?
I didn't know that when O.J. was on trial.
Well, O.J. had a team of fucking lawyers and, you know, the Kardashian, I forget his first name.
Was it a Jenner or a Kardashian who defended him?
No, the Jenners got married into the Kardashians,
okay.
As far as I know.
I feel like you know a little more than you're letting on. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, not really. I mean, well, I know the Kardashian family got famous because the patriarch of the family, I forget his name.
Lawyer, right?
Yeah, the lawyer.
Okay.
Defended O.J. Simpson and got him off on a murder that he obviously committed. But that's another story for another time.
Yeah, well, in the civil suit, it was proven beyond a preponderance of the evidence. Yeah. You know,
if the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
Well, in the civil court, you have to prove the guilt beyond the preponderance of the evidence. Yeah. And in a criminal case, you have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. Yeah. So there's different parameters, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so anyway, what's your face's guy? She's got SARS or whatever. So that happened. And the other thing that I read this week, which was really wasn't that interesting, but I thought we could talk about it a little bit, was that Shia LaBeouf character
from Transformers fame. That was what really made
that was his breakthrough. He was in the Even Stevens shit on Disney, I think.
I'm unfamiliar.
Even Stevens are one of those shows.
So he was a product of Disney, just like Miley Cyrus and all those other people.
Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Justin Timberlake.
Were they all Disney?
They were all Disney. He was on Disney Channel, I think. I'm pretty sure about that as a kid. And then, Fred.
Well, I remember 4chan trolled the shit out of that Shia LaBeouf guy when he was hanging that flag that he will not divide us. And then, like, some autists on 4chan, like, geographically located where that shit was and, like, tore down and did all this thing just fucking with him.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he's had a rough go of it. But I was wondering about what you thought of his roles when we were in, like, high school times and he was in movies. What did you think of Shia LaBeouf?
Was he in movies
in high school? He was in Constantine.
Was he? Oh, yeah.
He was fucking like Constantine's
apprentice.
That's a really good movie. I like that movie. It's, like, really underrated. That, I think, I don't remember that actor's name, but he's in a lot of Coen Brothers movies. But the guy who betrayed the devil, portrayed the devil.
That was
like, the best portrayal of the devil in Hollywood, ever, I think.
Well, Constantine, I'm not sure if you know this, is based off a DC comic book character.
Yeah, I know that, but yeah.
He's actually a really cool character. He sold his soul to the devil because he got lung cancer because he's an habitual smoker.
Because I thought the movie was like an anti-smoking movie, and I didn't know that was a character
from DC.
Well, I knew he was a character from DC. I just didn't know that he was a heavy smoker who traded his soul to the devil. I didn't read the book.
I might get that a bit wrong. Somebody correct me. Send us an email at broadandhazy@gmail.com. Yeah, if you need to correct us. But no, Constantine is a cool fucking character.
Yeah, so, I mean, I liked Shia in that. He was in a few other things. He was, like, always a sidekick, though. And then he went a little weird, and I'm almost thinking kin to, like, Corey Feldman. And so maybe he has similar experiences as Corey Feldman about Hollywood.
Maybe.
I don't need to get into specifics about what happened to Corey Feldman, but it does.
Child molestation.
You know what's funny is he's really good friends with Michael Jackson. He's like, that's the only person he does not accuse of ever doing anything like that.
Well, Macaulay Culkin, when it comes to Michael Jackson, Macaulay Culkin was, like, always defending Jackson. Always. He was like, no, this shit never happened. And don't get me started on the whole Michael Jackson thing because
that's a whole nother can of worms.
Yeah, I don't want to open it right now. I don't think Michael Jackson was a child molester.
I don't either. And the court, I don't think did either, but there was a civil suit.
It was settled outside of court. He just
So it's like not worth the negative publicity.
Yeah. So
Shia LaBeouf and Kim Kardashian. Oh, so what I was saying about Shia LaBeouf is that he is forced to go to anger management counseling. He assaulted some people or a person, and he's forced to go to court ordered rehab and Alcoholics Anonymous and stuff. So, but I really just wanted to talk about his early roles, and now that we're at the mic, I don't remember everything. The only thing I remember is Constantine. He was in, well, obviously Transformers, but he's in a few other things that I didn't think were bad. That
was his breakout role.
It wasn't his breakout role, but it really is what made him known. His breakout role is going to be on, like, Even Stevens, I think.
You think so? I'm not familiar with that shit at all. I haven't heard about that motherfucker.
I think he's a good actor. I think he's just got major issues.
Well, also, he was starring next to Megan Fox in Transformers.
Have you ever seen her thumbs?
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. Yo, her hands are weird as shit.
She's got a disorder with her thumbs. It's called, if you Google Megan Fox's thumbs, she's got like this, they look like big toes.
Yeah.
They're kind of weird, but it's pretty gnar. It's something
right now,
you can't unsee.
Who the fuck am I to criticize Megan Fox on her looks?
Yeah, if the only problem is her thumbs, I think I'm good.
Right.
You know? Even being a little bigger might be a little bit more thrilling, if you get my meaning.
All right, so...
anyway, how was your week, dude? I've been looking forward to coming down here to Olympia and recording with you. I've been looking into the topic that we have in line today. Mm-hmm. So how did your week go?
Well, my week went pretty well. I mean, I worked a lot. I also got my truck repaired, got my jolt ball joints replaced and everything like that, so my truck doesn't squeak every time I go over the tiny.
Yeah, I was a little nervous when we broke from the pod for a minute and then went and got some pizza.
Yeah,
and it was like holy shit, we're gonna die. This thing isn't gonna make it to the pizza shop. Then we broke again to get liquor.
No, but yeah, I handled that situation and then mostly just working and doing what I do.
Cool.
Just the average week for the most part. How was your week?
It was good. Same thing. I was working and then like trying to get stuff together for this pod because you suggested this topic before I left our little studio here. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And so I was like, I am majorly into that topic. So let's get into it. Let's start talking about it. What's the topic, Jeff?
Motherfucking Mothman.
And specifically the flap. Mm-hmm. We'll get into what flaps are in a little bit.
Yep.
But the flap in West Virginia in 1966 and 1967. And to me, there's other experiences across the country, mm-hmm. but they're not the same as they are. No, hear me out. They're not the same. And like they're dealing with something different because what they describe is different. Like right now in Chicago, there's a flap.
Yeah.
And I'll get into what a flap is right now. A flap is a concentrated number of sightings like that's chronologically tied together. So you'll have like 1966, 1967, boom, all in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Yeah. Everyone is seeing this thing.
Well, it wasn't just Mothman sightings in West Virginia. There was also another.
There was a few other things involved.
There was bridge collapses and MIBs involved and things like that, but we'll get into that later. So let's start on Mothman. So the first real sighting of Mothman that was reported, a lot of people think it was those two couples driving from the TNT
station. And that's what I brought. That's what I had written down here is that would be the first reported sighting of Mothman.
No, but actually I was listening and reading something earlier. There was a couple gravediggers right outside of
Point Pleasant.
Right outside of Point Pleasant who saw a wing sepian creature, like two arms, two legs, with a 10-foot wingspan flying over where they were digging graves, swooped down, went up into the trees and vanished.
So that's the thing about it.
That was 3 days
before. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That was like 3 days before you have the settings with the what are their names?
The couples. It's Scarberry and Millette.
Yeah.
You have Linda and Roger Scarberry and Steve and Mary Millette.
So let's get into that story. What happened there?
Okay. So this is the first report, because the one you're talking about, mm-hmm. I actually wasn't familiar with.
I didn't hear about it until earlier today.
And there's some very interesting folklore in Appalachia, Ohio, West Virginia.
Yeah.
There's some very interesting folklore. It's like an intermingling of European and Native American folklore, how they traded stories and how they kind of became
intertwined
with each other. So, I mean, because there are other sightings in the general area, this is a little off topic, that what they describe is literally a thunderbird. It is a bird. Yeah. But what Mothman in 1967 in Point Pleasant, 1966-67 in Point Pleasant, was not a bird. Because it did not have to flap to fly.
Well, there, I mean...
And it was more like a human with wings, but no face.
But there was a couple of, I forget who it was, there was like, oh no, it's just a large stork.
So a 10-foot wingspan is not unheard of in bigger birds.
Like a stork.
But the other, yes. And like, well, not the stork. They said it was a condor. Mm. A crane. I'm sorry. A sandhill crane.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
And they do have a 10-foot wingspan, but nothing else matches the description. But
it doesn't have legs.
Well, it has legs.
It was legs,
but they're bird legs.
No, it's got like human legs.
I was just envisioning this fucking bird robbing around in his fucking little belly.
No, but it had humanoid features.
You're right.
It had arms and like humanoid legs. Yeah. Not like three-toed bird kind of legs or whatever. It had like fully fledged humanoid legs. And it also had like a humanoid shape where it had, you know, on the upper torso of a human end. Like,
but it's funny, when they do find tracks of Mothman, there are a couple times when people went back to where they saw him, mm-hmm. and they find these very large, like if it were a person, but it had bird feet. It mm-hmm. had three toes, and then one in the back, so like a fourth toe, like a bird.
Or a dinosaur.
Right, or a dinosaur. And and it would be like burned into the concrete. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get into that first sighting. And this first sighting, I have to refer to this book because it kind of gives me names and details that I won't remember. Also, before I get into that though, I do want to mention that when you brought this up, this is something I have kind of really heavily been interested in since I was like,
no, when we discussed about starting the podcast, that was one of the first things I mentioned. Motherfucking Mothman.
Fucking A. Especially the Point Pleasant one. Because like I said, there's one going on in Chicago right now in mm-hmm. Illinois. But I think that might be a little different. I don't think that's the same kind of thing. But I got a Barnes & Noble's gift card for Christmas. I was like between 7 and 9 because I remember the house that I lived in at the time. And I didn't know what to do with this gift card because it's like for books. Mm. Like that's like the most difficult medium of entertainment to ingest. I don't care. I'm not an intellectual. I don't read books all the fucking time. At best, I audio book. So anyway, my mom was rushing me out of the store. And so I was just like, this looks cool. And it's this, we're going to put it on our social media. It's this book called Strange and Unexplained Phenomena by Jerome Clark and Nancy Pear. And it has a lot of stuff, and it's kind of dumbed down. It's kind of more for children, but I still have it. It's such a great book. Anyway, that's where I first heard of Mothman between the ages of 7 and 9. And I was really excited when you said that last week. Let's do Mothman. I was like, well, maybe we get into Mothman a little later, but no, I'm excited to do it. But okay,
no, it's fucking fascinating. The whole story of what came out of West Virginia in the 60s and stuff like that. And it wasn't just one sighting or two sightings. It was
hundreds. It, basically, the entire town has seen it at least once.
And there was a small whole bunch town.
I couldn't tell you how many people live in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, but even in 66, 67. But it isn't a big number. A couple thousand. You don't know. That's okay.
I'm drunk.
It's a couple thousand. It's under 10, but it's over one.
It's nothing like an Olympia or
New York. It's not.
Well, definitely not like a New York.
The highest population in the country. No, so we're going to talk about the first sighting. The first reported sighting, it was on November 15th in 1966. Two couples, Linda and Roger Scarberry and Steve and Mary Mollette, mm-hmm. joyriding in the TNT area.
And the TNT area was a, at that point, it was an abandoned munitions factory, correct?
Yeah, they were like manufacturing TNT and other explosives. And there was like, it's obvious, like nobody, it wasn't a secret in West Virginia at the time. Mm-hmm. They were dumping very intense chemicals in that area. It's now known as the McClintic Wild Reserve or whatever, Wildlife
National
Reserve
or something like that.
So it's McClintic, but I have it written right there. The McClintic Wildlife Refuge was started being managed in 1951. So it started being like
a wildlife preserve
before the sightings. It's like, leave this area alone, which is basically all they did. They didn't clean anything at this point. They were just like, don't fuck it up worse.
Yeah.
And so, it was commonly used as like a place to do drag racing and a lover's lane. And when they got to the North Power Plant, I'm talking about the Scarberries and the Mollettes again. When they get to the North Power Plant, their headlights illuminated a set of large glowing red eyes.
Similar to like bicycle reflectors or something like that.
That yep. is how the, that's the description you yep. hear the most is it,
the they, eyes are like bicycle reflectors.
Yeah. Exactly. And they're like 7 to 8 feet off the ground. And mm-hmm. like I've seen someone who's trying to disprove it mm-hmm. was saying that like at different distances, a lot of things can look like that, but that, I don't know. You could say that about anything. They said that they saw a grayish man figure about 6 to 7 feet tall with its wings folded at its back, and it could not walk. It wobbled like a penguin, exactly. Yeah. So terrified, they took off in their car down Route 62. They turned a corner and saw the figure by a billboard, and it opened its wings and took flight, and the creature followed their car from the air. And they picked up speeds around 100 miles an hour, just fucking screaming.
Screaming down the road because they were terrified.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was keeping pace with the car, and it never flapped its wings as far as they saw. And so Linda Scarberry said that it made a strange sound, like a really big mouse, like I would imagine.
Like a screech or something? Or
yeah, but like you would, you know, you think of a mouse and it's going to be small, but you're going to make that sound bigger based mm-hmm. because the animal's bigger. And so right at the edge of Point Pleasant's, like, kind of city limits or whatever.
When they got back into town.
The creature veered away from them.
Because maybe it was terrified of getting into more populated areas. So
that's yeah. And so they didn't know what to do. And I don't know how this conversation went. It would be interesting to really know. Because I would not look back. I'm not, there's no way I'm going back.
No, I thought they went straight to the sheriff's office or something like that.
They pulled over to discuss what to do, according to them. And in that conversation was, maybe we should go back and confirm before we tell anyone. And that kind of does jibe because, like,
you don't want to seem like a psychopath.
You guys are fucking mass hallucinations.
Maybe they were on acid.
You guys taking
especially
drugs
at the time.
Yeah.
You
know. Well, that's the thing about people in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Heavily religious, really family oriented. Oh. So, like, having that was one of the things that the sheriff, why he listened to the Mallettes and the Scarberries. They're really young at the time. But one of the reasons is because they're not known to be troublemakers at all. So he was
white Christian conservatives.
Exactly. He was listening to what they were saying because they wouldn't make anything up as far as he was concerned. Yeah. He wanted to hear them out. It made a sound like a mouse. So not sure what to do. They pulled over and they decided they were too afraid to go back and that they would go to the sheriff's office and make the report. At first, they weren't believed. And then, again, knowing that the couples were good, honest people and saw that their fear was genuine, he suggested, the sheriff, that they go back and show him what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Well, what they're talking about. And they didn't find any evidence, but...
Well, I mean, what evidence could you show for that? I mean...
It's funny that you'd ask, because I don't know why I omitted it from that paragraph there. Mm-hmm. But they saw a dog on the side of the road.
Which will relate to something we're probably going to get to in a bit later.
Well, I'll get into it right now. Okay. I'm sorry.
German Shepherd. Name was...
Bandit.
Yep.
There's a man named... how do you say the name? Newell Partridge. He was a builder who lived in Salem, West Virginia, about 90 miles from Point Pleasant, was watching television when suddenly the screen went blank, and then a fine herringbone pattern appeared on the screen and tube that started to make a loud whining noise, winding up to I actually remember hearing his interview with the media. He said it winded up to a fever pitch to the point where he needed to turn off the TV or something was going to happen to them biologically. Something
his
bad was going to happen.
His dog freaked the fuck out.
His dog Bandit was just barking his tits off, and... As soon as Newell or Mr. Partridge opened the door,
dog took off running.
Bandit goes out running. Now, Bandit's a trained hunting dog.
Yep.
And he, according to his tracks and stuff, he's just acting very erratic. And he's chasing his own tail, which he's not known to do, according to Mr. Partridge. I actually heard that interview. So, Mr. Partridge is too afraid to go in pursuit of the dog.
Well, he's still on his porch with his shotgun.
He was on his porch with a gun for about a half an hour to an hour, and then
calling
he said
his dog.
Then he said he went back and he had to call it at night. He wasn't going to go out in that darkness by himself.
No, that West Virginia darkness.
Whatever time it was. Actually, this probably says, it says 10:30 p.m. So it's pretty late. It's dark. So bandits never to be seen again. But in that, and again, I don't know why I left it out, but the Scarberries and the Millettes said they saw a dog matching that description mm-hmm. on the side of the road. And then when they came back with the sheriff, that dog was gone. So I think as a young person, that's what really drew me in. It was like all these stories kind of connected.
Yeah.
But, Jeff, we can't have the conversation, and we got to slow down a little bit. We can't have the conversation without a little bit more beer, but absolutely the conversation about the Men in Black.
Yeah, that's an important thing.
So can you tell, like, the listeners, the Men in Black. Hold on. Tell them what they are to pop culture. What is the Men in Black in pop culture?
In pop culture, you had the 1995 movie Men in Black with Will Smith, Tommy Lee Jones, where they're government agents.
Right.
But the Men in Black that these people describe in West Virginia coming from...
I want to slow you down a little bit right there. That is actually a really entertaining series.
Yeah.
1, 2, and 3, I really liked them. Even though they're corny. The third one had time travel. Did you see that one?
I have not. I've seen the first one.
Dude, I recommend it. Even though it's like a kid's movie, I recommend it. It's pretty fun. It's a fun movie.
But the thing is, the Men in Black has been portrayed as like a government agency. Like,
right.
Kind of like a CIA.
Humans working for the government directly.
But the way the people in West Virginia, when they described the Men in Black coming in and talking to them, were very like socially awkward, I guess you can kind of say.
Mm-hmm.
Like they didn't understand social norms, and they were just like
they didn't understand a lot of simple things. Like they looked at a pen or a fork,
mm-hmm.
and I actually so one of the sources of a lot of our information is obviously going to be John Keel's book,
yes.
Mothman Prophecies. Yep. The movie is not bad; it's not great, but it's doesn't
Richard Gere.
Got Richard Gere in it, but it doesn't really follow the book. He just has these weird encounters that they never describe. Yeah. But I wouldn't go as far as to say it's a bad movie.
Well, it's, I don't know where that fits in this. It's weird. Like the Mothman Prophecy movie, the Richard Gere, is interesting. It's kind of cool. But
it's not a bad movie. They just don't get into.
Yeah.
If you've ever read the book, they don't
get really into the lore.
Not at all. It's just like Richard Gere, I think, is being John Keel, mm-hmm. and he's running around having all these strange experiences that they never really define what they are. And that's kind of the point of the book, though, and that's one of the interesting takes that John Keel has on the paranormal, is that he has no answer for you. He's
just presenting facts as they were.
As people told him, and then experiences that he had.
Yeah.
People have criticized him saying that he tried to inject himself into the story, but I think mm-hmm. the story did that to him because he spent a lot of time. He's a New York dweller. He lives in New York, and he came down to Point Pleasant for this story.
There's a
and it
cultural
just
difference there.
It just kept pulling him back in, and he kept having to deal with these things, and then he had different experiences that you could say he's completely making up because you don't really – but his phone – He found a lot of fuckero with his phone. He'd take it apart, and there would be a tap in it, and just different stuff like that.
Well, that's when it comes back to the Men in Black and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's like the Men in Black, in my opinion, they're definitely not part of the
government.
They are separate entities. They are more than likely, if you were to describe them, something else.
So
something not human. Something not human.
This is something I don't get.
And they just take human shape, and they're like trying to
shut you up.
Yeah.
They just want you to shut up.
Yeah.
And but the way people describe them is not how humans behave. Sometimes they're described
like really socially awkward.
Have you ever seen The Sixth Day with Arnold Schwarzenegger? Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes.
Has it been a while?
It's been a number of years, I remember
it's on one of the streaming services. Yeah. Watch it. It's a good movie. Mm. But in that movie, a clone, it's all about cloning. Mm. And the CEO of the evil corporation clones himself. But in the middle, something went wrong and he's clone failed. And he's got this wispy white hair.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like not fully formed. biologically, that's how some people describe them, is they have like wispy hair, they're bald, no eyebrows, and actually...
That's another thing was the no eyebrows thing. It's like, God, that's such a weird thing. If like if you see a person with no eyebrows, it's weird. It's weird as shit.
Yeah, that would be disturbing. I either assume they fell asleep and they were drinking with their buddies, or they have alopecia. Man, I wanted to show you. There is this really good video. It's this one. It's this one right here. I'm going to mute the video because I don't know how that would affect this recording. But take a look at this. Let me just mute this guy. Okay, and then how do I expand? Like this. Okay, so these people who work at this hotel had a sighting, right? Yeah. And this is unrelated to Mothman. This is in modern times. They had a UFO sighting. And so these, they were talking about it. And then all of a sudden, neither of them happened to be working that day.
So they're talking about UAPs?
Exactly. These two men walk in and look at them.
If you scroll back, their body shape is like really weird.
This person is confused by their existence. Like
if you just straight up look at their body shape, it's odd because they're very large at the top and their bottom half is really slight.
And they're dressed way out of the times because this is 2000 hot. Something. Well, this is 2000 something. Mm-hmm. Why are they dressed like it's 1940 something?
Yeah.
They got what we call a trench coat, a top hat. They have black suits on. And this guy right here is in like khakis. He's in decent clothes, but he's not dressed. That's a bellhop right there, so he's dressed like one of them. So anyway, these MIB, actually, he's messing around with the ATM machine.
Just look at their proportions. It's odd. Look at that. No, look at their proportions, how they're way bigger on
top. This would be like the only video evidence ever that the MIB are even in existence, because the people who they spoke to, because the people who had the UFO sightings weren't there that day, said that they were very strange, very demanding, and that they had no hair. There's another sighting. I'm going to close this out. There's another sighting where the guy lets the person in, and I wish I had more time to do a little bit more research on it, but the guy lets these men in black in, and he's talking to him, and he's basically kind of bullying him, but then he just kind of acts like he's running out of batteries and that he needs to recharge, and he says...
Like he's, like, shutting down or something?
And, like, the verbatim... I mean, like, I'm not saying I'm quoting him. I'm sorry. I'm paraphrasing what I remember. Yeah. Is that, I'm sorry, I need to recharge. I need to go now. And then he just gets up and leaves without another word. And, it, I mean, that was just a...
And where was that at?
I don't remember where that one was at, but the guy was a UFO researcher, and he was being bullied around. So then you also have the Solway Firth spaceman. Do you know the story of the Solway Firth spaceman?
Elucidate me.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I heard of it.
I'm sure you have. So, and I don't, this one kind of gets me. Okay, I'll look it up and I'll show you the picture. The Solway Firth spaceman, is it there? Oh. It is solved, and it is solved, and to me, it's a hoax.
Oh, I've seen this.
So this picture that this guy takes somewhere in England has of his daughter. There's a spaceman behind her, but what they found was that this is an overexposed part of the film, and this is his wife. This is her hair. This is her blue dress, and blah, blah, blah. But he claims to have had a Men in Black experience, and he says that they took
just
him back.
For an off-exposure picture?
Well, Kodak was offering a lifetime amount of film if you could say what was going on there, because they couldn't.
That's an odd picture. It really is. I mean, you guys can go look it up.
The Solway Firth spaceman. Yeah. It's from Scotland. So these alleged MIB, see, I don't know. Did he know he accidentally caught his wife in the picture?
That doesn't even look like...
If you find... There's a way, and I don't really want to get into it here because that's not the topic, but there, if you look on Google, maybe type in Solway Firth Spaceman Solved, it'll show how this is unequivocally a woman.
Oh, okay, I see.
In her dress, and it's just overexposed, and it kind of looks like the back of her head is a space helmet.
Yeah.
But why would you have a Men in Black experience if that was the case? So I kind of think that guy was fudging the facts a little bit for publicity. Maybe. So I don't know why I brought him up.
What's that picture?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me go back here. What?
What's that right there?
Which one? This one?
Yeah. That's just a dumb picture.
It's just a dumb picture, yeah. All right. Look at him. He belongs in space. He's the Solway first spaceman. But, yeah, they proved that it was an overexposed film. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they proved that in, like, 2013. That picture was taken in, like, the early 60s, I think. Maybe late 60s. So he alleged that they took him back to the site and then threatened him never to talk about it. Why? And blah, blah, blah. He'd already gone to the press and all this jazz. Why what? Why would they threaten him? Because of the men in black, because
it's obviously that's just an overexposure.
It wasn't obvious, dude. Like I'm telling you, Kodak Films offered a lifetime amount of film to anyone who could say what it was. They couldn't. So the professionals at Kodak could not tell you what was going on there. And it was a thing for a long time. So anyway, this is something that the people of Point Pleasant experienced heavily. This strange encounters with men in black who are socially awkward. They don't understand what a pen is. Their shoes are really strange. Some people say they see them climbing on, I want to say it was the Silver Bridge, but they were dressed in their suits. Well,
the Silver Bridge is an odd situation because it was like a couple months after the first Mothman sightings. The bridge collapsed.
It was a year and a half. Yeah. Or no, about a year.
Yeah.
About a year. So if you were looking at the first reported sighting as being Scarberry's and the Mallettes, that happened in 66. The collapse of the bridge happened in the Christmas of 67. we'll get it. We're gonna evolve into that part of the story. So they're having a lot of so let me tell you. So we were talking about the bridge collapse, but we're going to get into that a little bit later. So in West Virginia at the time of the Mothman sightings, which there were, it's almost unreasonable to count them all. There are some really good documentaries out there who do it well. I think my favorite is probably Mothman Legacy. That was really good.
There's also Mothman of Point Pleasant, which is also relatively.
And I really feel like that's an abridged version of another one that I saw at another time, but I can't find anymore. But there's some really good ones about the Mothman sightings. The UFO phenomena is really important to the Mothman himself.
Well, it coincides.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's countless encounters with UFOs, even alien beings, and lights in the sky during that whole time. So there's one guy in particular, and I want to talk about him. But I want to give an example. I had an example written down here about a men in black encounter. So there's a contractor, and he was at a job, and he's inspecting some work. He owns the company, so he's inspecting to make sure that the job is done properly. Right. He stops in a food joint right next door, and a tall, saturnine man sits next to him.
Saturnine. That's an odd term. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Saturnine.
Saturnine. I do remember, and it made sense. A contractor was inspecting his work, and he stopped in a cafe, and a tall, saturnine, which means slow and gloomy, saturnine-looking man sat next to him and tried to engage him in conversation, first by saying, there have been people studying the sky down by the river. And the contractor, he knows he's one of those people.
Yeah.
He's like, okay. And so he started asking this man some questions, and he was always avoiding the answers. He would not answer. And then he left with a final thought, which was people who look for UFOs should be very, very careful. So that is...
It's kind of a threat in itself. Be careful.
Yeah, yeah. You could say that. It's a strange encounter for anybody to say anything like that. About anything. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Well, he just approached this man out of nowhere, right? And he's like, yo.
And he doesn't...
Be careful what you talk about.
Yeah, but he's I mean, John Keel's book goes into it a little bit more, that story. But he's not a normal-looking person. Yeah. A lot of the men in black are described as being olive in complexion, relatively like short. They have like way... too big of a sole in their shoe. And then John Keel takes it even further, and he says sometimes they're dressed too futuristically, like a character named Indrid Cold.
Indrid Cold is a subject that I've wanted to bring up This is a good segue into it, because who is the man, what was his name, that encountered Indrid
Cold? Woodrow Derenberger.
Yep. And, okay, so that's a very interesting story.
His first encounter with Indrid, I'm sorry, it's Indrid Cold.
Indrid Cold, yes.
Was in November 2, 1966, which is before...
Right around the same time.
It's right around the same time, yes, of the Mothman sightings. So he's driving
down... In the same general region.
Yeah, he's a little bit outside of Point Pleasant, mm-hmm, but he is driving down in a panel truck, Interstate 77, mm-hmm, when a vehicle pulls alongside him. This vehicle is cigar-shaped, and he realizes it's not driving, it's flying. Mm-hmm. And then it blocks this intersection, so he stops. He says it looks like a kerosene lamp. I don't know what a kerosene lamp looks like, because, like, Aladdin?
No, a kerosene lamp
He said it's a kerosene lamp chimney.
Kerosene lamp chimney.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. I'm not from olden times, dude.
Kerosene lamp is like, you know, those...
They can Google it. They can Google it. Don't worry about it. Yeah. He stopped as the vehicle blocked the road, and he insists... And this TV interview is available. Yeah. You can find it readily.
On YouTube, it's easily. I watched it 2 nights ago.
Woodrow Derenberger. You will find that he gave this interview on TV. He actually, mm-hmm, wrote a book. And it was, we'll get into the book title after we discuss it a little more. So the cigar-shaped UFO blocks the road. He insists that the man never spoke, but he knew exactly what he was saying. Right?
Telepathically speaking,
right?
To him.
ESP, exactly. Yep. So he said that the man was 5'10". He was very tall and had
Five foot ten is not tall. It's barely taller than I am, and I'm a sure fuck.
I don't know why I wrote tall, because 5'10" isn't very tall.
No.
I wrote some misinformation probably. So anyway, he had a very a strong grin. And if you look up the smiling man,
yeah,
that's kind of the grin I envisioned when I heard Derenberger. Mm-hmm. So he had slick back dark hair, yep, and then his clothes looked metallic, which is what I was saying, that they dress out of the times.
Yeah.
And so, like, this guy is dressed like it's 150 years in the future, and some of them dress like it's 50 years in the past. Just like,
yeah,
the video we,
exactly,
just watched. They were dressed
they
the
looked
1940s.
Like 1940 mobsters or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had really broad shoulders in that video.
And no, that video was so weird because, I mean, just looking at the proportions, I brought that up. They're very wide at the top, but very slim. At the bottom, it's not proportional. It's weird as
It's not
shit.
What you'd expect a human to look like. You're definitely going to do a double take if you see something like,
yeah,
that. So, first, Indrid Cold exchanges, mm-hmm, colloquial greetings, and he tells Derenberger he means him no harm, we come in peace, and he explains to him, mm-hmm, to Woodrow, that he is flesh and blood, just like he is.
Mm. And so he's on the same dimension that we are.
Well, he's explaining that he is not like an immortal god, which,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. Like I've said in other episodes, I've watched Ancient Aliens, and maybe he doesn't want the misperceptions, mm-hmm, that ancient cultures have made about extraterrestrials. I don't, mm-hmm, know. During the conversation, the craft elevated... With Indrid Cold standing next to his panel truck.
Like, just standing there.
And
bullshitting with him. It's
and
so...
It was right when traffic came, mm-hmm, and would have seen it. And there are eyewitnesses that said they saw a very tall man matching Woodrow Derenberger's description talking to someone in a panel truck, mm-hmm, on Route 77. Yeah, so there's some corroboration there.
Well, what did the conversation consist of?
It was simple things. He asked him, what is that over there? And it was basically
town. So he's trying to learn.
That's how Derenberger explains it. He's asking, what's that over there? And he's asking about all the lights. And he explains, yeah, to him commerce and people live there. Yeah. And it's a city. He tells him, in my world, we call that a gather or a gathering. So he's exchanging information. And he says that he will come back, he says, to report what Derenberger has seen. Mm-hmm. He says, report it, and I will come back and validate your story.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems to be a common thread.
Yeah, it seems like if there are aliens, they're just trying to learn. But the thing is, when it comes to shit like that, if they're observing us, they should have learned this kind of thing a long time ago.
If they can perform interstellar space travel,
yeah,
I don't think there's much we can teach them.
Well, no, I mean,
we can teach you how to kill each other and make some really good drugs. So,
no, but I mean,
one day before Darren Berger's experience, there was a National Guardsman who saw a man perched in a tree and then saw him fly away.
Fitting that description?
It wasn't Indrid. It was Mothman.
Okay.
So these things were like
intertwined.
Right next door to each other at the same time, chronologically. So Woodrow describes massive headaches coming on, and then boom, he starts hearing Indrid's thoughts. And
because it said that,
but like out of nowhere,
he wasn't vocally communicating. It was all
ESP or whatever, whatever that's called. But this is not during one of his encounters with him physically. This is like at work one day. He experiences this pain, and then boom, Indrid is talking to him from light years away, allegedly.
Oh, that's a weird thing.
So through this encounter, like I said, Woodrow Derenberger out of nowhere describes a headache, and then a flow of Indrid Cold's thoughts. Through this encounter, Cold explained that he was from the planet called Lanulos.
Lanulos, yeah.
In the galaxy of Ganymede.
The Ganymede galaxy, which is off the table.
Probably made up, Jeff. You don't need to know
everything. There's such a thing as the Ganymede galaxy.
Yeah, but is it Ganymede to English-speaking humanoids? I mean, do you think that like Martians are calling the Milky Way the Milky Way?
No, obviously not.
I mean, what makes you think that humans would call anything Ganymede?
Well, maybe he was just trying to relate it to in Earth terms.
I mean, there might be. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm just saying, who cares? Okay, so his planet, he said, was like Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It had, what do they call it, fauna? And what's the other one?
Flora and fauna.
Flora and fauna, exactly. Yeah. And that he has a wife, and her name was Kimmy, which seems really earthly.
Really white.
And then two sons, and the life expectancy is 125 to 175 Earth years. Mm-hmm. They don't have war, and they don't have disease.
Well, see, that goes against the Fermi paradox. I brought that up in another podcast.
You did?
The Fermi paradox basically states that before you can develop interstellar travel or anything like that, the civilization will probably kill itself through war or whatever.
And I think if you're fucking flying around the galaxy in a dick shape, see, they say cigar shaped in all the books,
but it's phallic.
To me, that's a dick shape. You just made a dick.
Well,
fucking
I mean,
spaceship.
Look what
our spaceships look like dicks. I didn't realize
it's
that.
Super phallic.
And then when
no, because it penetrates.
When the fuel when the fuel capsule breaks away,
yeah,
it looks even more like a dick.
The balls drop away.
No, like you got the thrusters in the back. The fins.
That's what you have to look like. It's like everything that it's penetrating, and
so. And all right, so in Keel's book, mm-hmm. Mothman Prophecies. By the way, if I haven't mentioned the title, that's what it's called.
The Mothman Prophecies by
John Keel. He makes note of the fact that many UFO sightings at the time happened to women during their period, and often the UFOs or their encounter that they have, maybe their lights or whatever, literally like pick them out and terrorize them. Noting that also during cattle mutilation, the victims are found with blood drained, like there's no blood around a mutilated cow or whatever.
But the blood's completely gone.
There's no blood around them, and there's no blood in them. So John Keel made all these really interesting assertions about what maybe they would do with blood, things that would make your hair turn white, I think was one of the phrases he used. Maybe they do stuff with it that you can't even comprehend what they need to do with biological blood. I mean, I was thinking the whole time, like, on top of bears, they're also attracting UFOs with their periods.
Or sharks.
And sharks. See, ladies, help us out here. That was something that John Keel had mentioned. He made actually kind of a point to point it out that there was a lot of women who were menstruating on at the time of their experience. There was another sighting.
The whole menstruation cycle is interesting too.
It is not. Let's stop that there. So there was another sighting that I found really interesting. A young mother. She has the baby in her arms. There and these, I want to say it's three or four people getting out of a car when the young mother who's holding the baby sees Mothman across like the driveway and immediately in terror drops the baby and she freezes up and she has to be
brought. That seems, I don't know, that seems like a weird story because she dropped the baby. No, most women would be more.
So you're going to say, you're going to say what's okay for how this woman reacts in terror. You're going to define how this woman can behave. Shut up, Jeffrey. Just listen to the story. God damn it. Okay. So she drops the baby and she's frozen, right? Mm. And then the driver, I think, of the vehicle, like, scoops them both up and brings them inside. Oh. And Mothman is just, like, chilling outside the house. And then he starts coming up to the window and just starts looking in.
Just investigating?
Yeah. Just looks in. And the baby was taken to the hospital and looked at, and it was fine. You know, babies are made of rubber.
Basically.
They really are. When you have, like, a broken bone in a baby, it's evidence
that he'll wait.
Well, if you have a broken bone in a baby, they're very suspicious that you abused the baby because it is hard to hurt a baby that way. So I am telling Linda and Roger Scarberry and Steve and Mary Mullett. We talked about Indrid Cold, who I think is really interesting. Something I forgot to write was that Indrid Cold allegedly came back, brought Derenberger's entire family to Lanulos and showed them around.
I mean, how well is that reported, though? I mean,
like, is
there, like, detail explained?
He has a book called They Came from Lanulos or something like that.
Yeah.
And his wife at the time wrote a book, too. And she's pretty insistent, but they did not last. They didn't stay together. And then
imagine that they had.
But you got to imagine, like, the stuff that go. Like, if you're a UFO contactee and you cop to it, like, what kind of shit storm is falling down
on you? And, like, everybody's going to call you crazy or psychopath or schizophrenic or some shit.
The other crazies are going to camp out in your house because the Lanulos ships are coming to your backyard. Yeah. It's got to be a pretty fucked up experience. And I think,
feel bad for these people because I'm not doubting that they had that. It's fallout from it, from being vocal about it and explaining it, had to be like a shit storm. I can just imagine what that's like.
No, and in a lot of cases it was. Now, I don't remember, what was the movie? Do you remember the movie that came out about that very famous...
Fire in the Sky.
That's it. That's exactly it.
I knew exactly what you're talking about. Fire in the Sky is a dope-ass movie. If you haven't seen it, watch it.
Yeah.
It's terrifying and amazing.
It is a good movie. And it is allegedly based on a true story.
Yep.
His friends, there's these...
They're like rednecks in, where was it, Maryland or something?
They're
not like
rednecks.
That?
What do you call the people who cut down trees? Lumberjacks.
Yeah.
They're that kind of person. Yeah. And they're working and then they're leaving work. And one of them, they're like, stop the car because they're heading down the trail and they're heading back home. And they're like, stop the truck. I see something. And they get out and they all witness him being abducted by a UFO.
And this is based on a true story, by the way.
This is. I think that the movie, based on the information we have on the story, was really close to what everything that was said.
Kind of lines up with the Indrid Cold thing. It just lines up.
It does, except for there was some maliciousness in the Fire in the Sky movie, where Indrid Cold was a little bit more ambivalent.
I wouldn't say ambivalent. He was just more, kind of ambivalent, but more like curious. Whereas these beings in that movie were malicious.
Yeah,
they weren't tortured this motherfucker
for days, and then he shows up
naked.
Like, He's like
traumatized, like straight.
But not just that. Not just that. All of his friends are being accused of murdering him.
Yeah, but he showed back up.
Yeah, but for 7 days, they're the prime suspect in their friend's disappearance. And they're like, no, I'm telling you, a UFO took him. And it's like, yeah that don't fly here, buddy.
But that's the weird thing. It happened. And the motherfucker showed back up, like, with crazy-ass stories.
And he still tells the exact same story today.
There's no fluctuation.
I mean, it's 2021. I don't know if he's still alive, but I know
Pretty sure
he's still alive. Because that abduction happened in like 87.
Yeah.
And he was a very young man in 87.
Mid-20s.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So that put him in his like late 50s or something like that now.
I don't know. Fucking math. Crazy. All right. So let's stick to Mothman. So Okay, one thing I wanted to mention is that my family and I are planning to go, and I hope we can get Jeff to come with us and get the time off work and all that jazz.
I could probably
to
do
go
that.
Down to West Virginia. They have a Mothman festival now.
Yeah.
It started in 2002. And, dude, I mean, like, of all places you can go visit, like, they have tours of the TNT area on bus. They have hayrides for kids. They have got, you know, carnival food and all that jazz. And then lots of trinkets and people to talk to. And there's a man who's running the Mothman of Point Pleasant Museum down there. And his building looks very interesting.
What other reason would you have to go to West Virginia other than that?
I can't imagine. But I will definitely dump a bunch of fucking pointless money into their economy just to see what they've got going on. They got a huge statue there based on the event. So let's get back to the Mothman a little bit. All these Mothman sightings culminated in the December of 67, the Silver Bridge, and this is December during a very busy time of year, the Silver Bridge collapsed.
Yeah.
And there were it was and fully
they
loaded.
They blamed it on Mothman.
Well, some people say he's a harbinger.
Yeah. Right? A harbinger of bad, you know, timings or anything.
Let me ask you, is the word harbinger implicit of negative?
It doesn't have to be. You can have a harbinger of good times as well, I'm sure.
Okay.
But, I mean...
Just curious. So...
I mean, if you think about in biblical terms, I mean...
Holy shit, I didn't need this big of a fucking description. Jesus Christ.
Well, that's what I was going to get into. Just the Virgin Mary had a harbinger come down to her and tell her that she's going to be impregnated with the Son of God.
That sounds like a harbinger of fucking sorrow.
Well, I mean, her son did get crucified.
Sounds pretty awful. So anyway, people said that he was a harbinger and that the sightings stopped, which is not true. The sightings continued.
Yeah.
But people didn't care after the Silver Bridge collapsed because everybody
more concerned with actual tragedy and
everybody knew somebody from you know, all the people of Point Pleasant, they didn't care about Mothman anymore. And like the way that bridge fell, okay, so the bridge breaks and then it drops a bunch of cars into the river. Mm-hmm. Which is the Ohio River that separates basically Point Pleasant from Ohio.
Yeah.
And so the people get thrown into the river, and then the bridge breaks and falls on top of them. So most of those people are dead.
Dead, yeah.
And it's December. So they're experiencing hypothermia within minutes of hitting that water.
Minutes. We're talking seconds.
Right. And there's no – it's not a huge death toll. You're not like – comparing this to 9/11, but to a population, it's like 47 people or 60 people died in that disaster. Mm-hmm. But for a place like Point Pleasant, that's
everybody's
a lot. It's
connected and everybody knows each other, so it's like everybody knows.
Everybody was impacted by that. Yeah. So like it's like Mothman fell off the radar, but I don't think the sightings stopped.
I don't think so. I think the sightings continued for quite a while after that.
And like I said, the folklore continues and moves 400 miles, right? Because presently there's a flap in Illinois.
We're going to talk about flaps. What does that term mean?
We did define it already, but a flap is basically a chronological and concentrated geographical area of sightings. They call of sightings of flying bipedal creatures that are unknown to humanity.
Well, that would also include, like, the Jersey Devil and things like that.
Does the Jersey Devil fly?
Yeah.
I think he has wings, but I don't think he flies.
Well, if he has wings.
But, like, more on point would be, like, the Thunderbirds.
The Thunderbirds of Native American mythology, yes.
Right. And some people say that that's a misinterpretation of what Mothman is. Which, I mean, you know, fuck, I don't... Who fucking knows?
Well, here's another question.
You can't find Bigfoot. You're not fucking discovering what the fuck Mothman is. There's a ton of Bigfoot, allegedly, but there's one Mothman.
Yeah, that's weird. And also, the term Mothman kind of is interesting because...
Oh, we never talked about why he got that name. Why does he have that name?
I don't know.
I do.
Oh, no. Yeah, we were discussing this earlier. It's from a fucking Batman comic.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yep. Killer Moth.
Yeah.
The Killer Moth is all I could find. I can't actually find a Mothman, but, you know, so after the Scarberry Millette sighting, the next day they had a press conference, and the press called him Mothman based on the Batman comic.
Oh, so
but as far as I can tell, that character's name was Killer Moth.
Yeah. Also, there was a reporter who went down to West Virginia. What was her name? Female reporter.
She lived... Well, you're right.
And she got very deeply involved in it.
Her name was Mary Heyer.
Mary Heyer, yeah.
Yeah, she died too young. And that's one of the reasons why the sighting stopped. Because people didn't go to... what's the big one in West Virginia? Or it's going to be close by. I guess it's going to be like Columbus, Ohio, or the big newspaper. They didn't go there for Mothman shit. They went to Mary Heyer. And Mary Heyer and John Keel were like a team.
Yeah.
And she died, and so did the entire the area's connection to Mothman. They didn't have a person to go to because Keel went back to New York.
But I'm pretty sure Mary Heyer, like, stayed there and was, like, trying to report on this shit.
She did continue, but she died. She died in like 72. So you're talking like 67 to 72, and she fell ill and then died, like after being in the hospital for a solid month. I mean, I don't know if they know what she had, but she fell ill, and then it was coitons.
No, and that's an interesting thing because she like dedicated a lot of her time to try to
like at some point all of her time. She started her own paper, and it was called Where the Waters Meet, and it was solely dedicated to Mothman shit and UFO shit and MIB shit. Well, not just Mothman,
but yeah, MIBs and
all that stuff. And so that was like Point Pleasant's like go-to. Like, that's where you go. You had one of those experiences? Oh, go talk to Mary.
Yeah. But there was, at the time in the 60s, where were there other sightings and things like that outside of West Virginia?
I don't know that there was a lot of sightings outside of West Virginia.
So it was just like a hot spot.
A flap. That's what they call them. Yep. They call it a flap.
But we were also talking earlier today about what's going on in Chicago right now.
In Illinois, yeah. There's a lot of sightings right now, but I think what they're describing are Thunderbirds. Mm-hmm. They're different. They flap. But that's the one thing about Mothman we may not have mentioned.
He seems to go just by, like, propulsion rather than flapping his wings.
He doesn't have to flap. He just he breaks out the wings, and then he can fly, but he doesn't flap them. And what other people describe, and there is a really interesting case where this young kid, he's a real scrawny kid. Mm. He's 12 years old, 13 years old, literally gets picked up by one of these birds and thrown.
Well, that's another thing a lot of people don't know about Mothman is he was originally described as like a birdman, like with feathers.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they called him the birdman.
At first, yeah. and then the whole Batman influence.
Well, once the press got a hold of it, they have to dub him something. Just like
because he was initially described as a bird.
John Keel makes this proposition in the Mothman prophecies that maybe people start seeing what
they want to see.
Well, what other people say they're seeing. Yeah. And it's like, I also saw that. But every one of these encounters is slightly different. And that's, you really got to read John Keel's book.
Yeah.
He's explaining how like this thing is like Pennywise. It kind of just becomes.
It conforms to what your fears are.
It kind of just becomes what you want it to be. Mm-hmm. So if you want
it
to be.
That doesn't mean it doesn't exist, though.
You think that. Okay, so I'm not disputing you. I just want to clarify. Mm. You think that the animal, is he an animal? Is he ultra-dimensional, extraterrestrial?
I would say probably, well, ultra-dimensional, that's what they say Bigfoot is. It's like he can teleport from place to place.
I've been watching a lot of stuff about Bigfoot because I think that's coming up in the pod. And
will come up.
I have been watching a lot. And a lot of people, and they seem the smartest. They don't think he's ultra-dimensional. They think it's an animal. Hey, okay, think about this, Jeff. Think about a quarter mile into the woods off any given road.
And you're basically in the wilderness.
And there are hundreds of thousands of square miles that.
Just look. I mean, we grew up in Anchorage. You drive 25 miles out of Anchorage. What is it?
It's
fucking woods.
It's empty. Empty.
Empty as hell. And that's no different from down
there's
here.
There's
if you get out. It's if just you, lots. If I drive 25 miles out east, empty forest.
I don't even think you have to drive that way. If you could fly from this apartment and fly, there would be emptiness right away.
Yeah.
Right away once you get away from the highways, there would be a emptiness, and it's just, you know, scores or leagues of distance just of just uninhabitable.
Totally. Well, it's not uninhabitable. I mean, nobody could go make a life there if they want to, but it's just empty.
No,
nobody's
it'd be
there.
Pretty fucking hard to make a life there, dude. Yeah. You can't walk. You can't move.
I mean, there was a documentary I was watching a couple days ago about people who just go missing in the forest.
Oh, that's not just in the forest. It's called Missing 411.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is about people who go missing in national parks.
That's a cool documentary.
If you guys read the book.
I haven't read the book.
The book is super, it's different.
Yeah.
It's a little different. And this has been talked about on George Norrie's show, AM Coast to Coast, for a long time. People just disappear, and they'll find their bodies in places where they could not have possibly gotten to.
And here's the thing. It's like there was one such story about one of those people who went missing in the forest. Like, he had his, like, shoes set up. Like, he left his shoes.
Like, took them off and set them somewhere neatly.
Set them somewhere. And his backpack was less than a quarter mile away. And his body was, like, fucking miles away. How the fuck did...
And then, oh my God, like, their feet aren't fucked up.
No,
like,
exactly.
Like, the terrain would indicate their feet would be fucked up.
Well, because if you take your boots off, I'm not sure if a lot of our listeners have gone hiking through mountains or shit like that, but they tend to be kind of rocky, and it's not a terrain where you want to take your fucking boots off.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's another conversation for another time.
Yeah.
So, conclusions, Mothman. You think this is a cryptid, an animal who has not been discovered yet?
Well, it has been.
Well, I mean, like, literally discovered. We need a body for discovery.
Yeah, I guess.
What do you mean you guess? That's the only way you can figure out what an animal is.
Well, I mean, there's been so many sightings reported over and over and over and again. It was a thing that was there.
Something was going on there.
Something was going on. Definitely.
The Men in Black experiences. The UFO sightings, the lights in the sky, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God. We can go into so many different dimensions with that. It's like, okay, why would the Men in Black be interested in Mothman sightings?
Well, they were mostly interested in UFO sightings.
Yeah.
Not Mothman. Okay. They were, which was, there as many Mothman sightings as there were in West Virginia in 66 and 60.
An equal amount of
UFO sightings or lights in the sky.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about. There was some weird shit happening in West Virginia in the 60s, and I don't...
That was... This reaction that you're having right now is exactly...
Like, I don't even have words for it. It's like, holy shit. That's
exactly where John Keel's book landed. Was and he died in, I want to say, 2002, and people constantly asked him, what was it about? And he has no answer.
He's like, I don't know.
Like, all I know,
a bunch of crazy shit happened, and there's really no explanation for it.
So one explanation is that there was so much contamination that
from the
TNT site, because not only the TNT manufacturing byproducts are in the land, other companies started dumping waste there, just like frivolously.
But what about places like Chernobyl, like Pripyat and shit like that,
right?
You don't have a lot of reportings about like that from there. Maybe it was also behind the Iron Curtain and shit like that. Maybe there was.
You're not
going
to get a lot of reportings where there are no people.
Yeah, maybe.
I think there is evidence that, well, they're not Mothman, but there's evidence that the animals are definitely affected by.
Oh, definitely. Like, what's fucked up about like the Chernobyl Pripyat thing is, like, when it comes down to it, moths, literally moths.
Mothman.
No, not Mothman, but the moths themselves, like, mutated really quickly.
Those dusty butterflies?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate those things. All right, so one thing I did want to mention, last night I stayed up all night.
Yeah.
It was not intentional. And I was expecting to make a better pod, but I think we're doing good.
We've done excellent so far.
So, I wanted to tell you that, you know what movie I watched last night?
What?
Aliens.
Aliens. We were talking about that on the second podcast.
Because you said it, and I saw it was up there, and I was like, that was a good movie.
It was a very good movie.
So I am going to tell you that is a fucking cool movie.
It's action, sci-fi, horror.
Like Alien is good for its plot, but Aliens is better.
Top notch. James Cameron directed the shit out of that movie.
All right, so one thing I wanted to note, and this is like a fun fact that I happened to notice yesterday. But I work nights. I work from 4 p.m. to 1 a.m. I get home kind of late, and I start watching that movie. And so there's a Latino character.
Vasquez.
Right. Did you know, and I didn't realize it until I saw her at a certain angle, that is John Connor's foster mother.
Really?
That is the same actress.
Well, James Cameron does that.
Michael Bane.
Bill Hicks and shit like that. Hicks is
Kyle Reese.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if anybody has not seen Aliens from 1990, 1989. If anybody is an authority on what year that fucking movie came out, it's Jeffrey.
No, Aliens is my shit, dude.
I definitely appreciate it. I started watching Aliens 3 last night, and I'm like, I remember this one, and it's not as good. But I do like the one with Winona Ryder. I do like that one.
Alien Resurrection?
Yeah, Resurrection. I do like that one.
That's when I developed a crush on Winona Ryder. With that short hair, she was cute in that movie.
Yeah, you crush? 10 out of 10?
I'd say about a solid 8.
Mm. No. Well, she's like, her choice at the time was Johnny Depp or Jeff Simmons. I have a feeling I know where she's going to go.
What was his name? Mel Gibson?
Yeah. I knew Mel Gibson.
He called Winona Ryder an oven dodger.
Why? What does that mean?
Jewish.
Wow, what a fucking idiot. What a fucking moron. That's a lot less funny than you realize. No, that is actually fucked up. That is stupid.
No. Mel Gibson's a motherfucker.
And it's so fucked up because he's so talented.
No, he's a great actor.
He's a great actor. He's a great producer. Not only great that, director. He's a
great director.
He's a good director. Apocalypto is a great movie.
Great movie. Oh, yeah. My God.
The Passion could go fuck itself.
Yeah, Passion.
I did watch that on Mushrooms.
Yo. Will Gibson is a...
What's our conclusions about Mothman?
Yeah. So, but okay, so back to Mothman.
You
when think, did it end, though?
I'm sorry. You said it already, but cryptid or ultra-dimensional, extraterrestrial?
No, I don't think Mothman is interdimensional. I think it's just something that existed.
And does not exist anymore?
I think there's probably still there.
Or he found his way away from civilization where they keep fucking with him and taking pictures of him and shit.
Yeah, well, kind of like the Bigfoot thing. I mean, what do you think Bigfoot is?
We are definitely getting into that on another pod. Mm-hmm. But I think Bigfoot is probably a cousin of Gigantopithecus.
Mm-hmm. So just large,
he's essentially
mammalian,
primate specifically, primate, yeah. And they are closely related with orangutans. Well, the only thing I think I could be wrong, but I think the only thing on Gigantopithecus that we've ever found is a jaw, and from a jaw we've constructed an animal.
That's really weird when it comes down to that kind of anthropology and not anthropology, but
no, that's anthropology.
Yeah, it's like. If they can find a jawbone or something like that and create something out of nothing.
Well, it takes a lot of people, mm-hmm. and they do their best, and they're wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying that you could take an animal and take a partial skeletal structure, mm-hmm. especially Gigantopithecus, because he's only got, a jawbone?
Yeah. And they just constructed something out of that.
That's totally out of left.
Look at what the Greeks did with their idea of the Cyclops. It was an elephant skull because it had that big giant hole in the center. And they're like, oh, that's Cyclops. It's a one-eyed being.
To me, there's no way that these beings were reported on so heavily in ancient cultures and they didn't exist. Mm-hmm. Somehow. I know. I understand. There are cycloptic fish.
Well, one-eyed fish?
Yeah, there are one-eyed fish. I guess it doesn't speak much to depth perception. It doesn't work good in a primate.
No, it doesn't.
It's so crazy.
Underwater is totally different from what we experience. I mean, goddamn. We have, when it comes to, the sea, we have better mappings of the moon.
Yeah, that's true. If you didn't notice, we went a little broad and a little overly hazy.
I think we stayed on topic for the most part.
I think we did. So we got Woodrow Derenberger and his encounter with Indrid Cold. And you have a lot of Mothman sightings in West Virginia. You have the collapse of the Silver Bridge. You have another flap that happens in modern times. That's
in Chicago, just recently.
Just 2017, and I'm sure it's still persistent.
No, wasn't there something down in San Francisco not too long ago?
You know, the people say people
Tic Tac sightings or whatever.
Well, that's UFO. That's not Mothman. But those Tic Tac sightings, we are going to talk about again. We talked about them once before. They're coming up again because they are this. I don't know if you understand how big this is, Because
no, it's huge.
This dump of information is literally the most any government has ever talked about extraterrestrial potential. I want to thank anybody who listened, and I've noticed that there are some reviews on there and some stuff like that. And I don't know how.
Yo, give us 5 stars.
I don't know how to thank you. I really appreciate that. I want to thank everybody who listened. Thank you.